This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590TheFan.com.
You know, most of these NBA draft lotteries, you know, they're not that interesting because a lot of times there's not a clear, dominant number one pick. This year, it's going to be fascinating. It's going to happen Tuesday night. I mean, if Phoenix gets it and they got Ayton and Booker and Zion, or if Cleveland got him and Beeline and Connor Sexton, a whole new franchise there, or if the Knicks got him and they end up with Durant and Kawhi and Zion.
And do you think for Beeline, the younger the roster, the better? The more of that college dynamic, older coach, younger player, college dynamic, probably better for him. He's a great coach. I just can't picture him in the NBA. And for those who didn't hear, the Michigan coach is going to Cleveland to coach the Cavs. Apparently, he's always wanted to coach in the NBA, and he's been at Michigan a long time.
So you can't picture John Beeline urging J.R. Smith to play great man-to-man defense, huh? I see your point.
Yeah, I'm not sure the dynamic for most NBA coaches to the play. We know, like LeBron, like in a huddle, are you going to tell LeBron what to do? Probably not.
What coach? What of the four major sports do you think the coach has the biggest role? I think it's a slam dunk, but go ahead. Let's go around.
Football?
Yes.
Yeah.
They seem to have not only the most involvement throughout the game, but also the command of the players. It's got a little more of that dictator role. It's my team,
what
it's not your team.
What do you think would have the least?
I think basketball. 100%. Maybe NBA basketball.
Yeah.
Not necessarily college.
I think hockey would be after that, and then baseball.
Yeah, I think professional basketball.
Yeah, but I think college coaches think they need to coach more than they actually do. I'm not saying play like an AAU, but I mean to have a breakaway 3-on-2 and then slow it down to set up, you know, a backdoor cut. Like,
In college, a lot of times, maybe I'd say it's about 50% of the time, you're telling your point guard what to run. In the NBA, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
And right now in the NBA, you have some of the more anonymous names, right? And Terry Stotts has been a head coach in the NBA before. Portland's coach is Terry Stotts. Denver's, is it Mike Malone or Matt Malone? Mike Malone. Budenhauser is the Bucks guy.
Why do you hate Dwayne Casey?
I know he coached in Atlanta, but isn't it amazing how we came from the era where you knew Chuck Daly and you knew Pat Riley. There was even
Mike Vitello.
Bill Fitch was kind of a name for a while, and Billy Cunningham. The coaches were stars when we were kids, and right now, the coaches sort of take a back seat to all the players.
I know the hockey coach plays a large role, but in terms of like strategy, I mean, look, obviously the hockey coach plays a big role. Look what's happened here in St. Louis with the records with Craig Berube as opposed to Mike Yeo. But what like the actual strategy?
I think for a hockey coach, you got to surround yourself with great coaches around you, and I think that's half the battle of being a great coach is having a guy that you know the players will respond, like your power play coach or anything, your goaltender coach. So I think half the battle with NHL and trying to get the best guys around you, because NHL coaches only can coach a certain amount, So
we need a mic in the huddle when they call timeout late in the game, and Berube's like, "Okay, go to the net." Get first of all, Colton, shoot the puck. The rest of you guys, go to the net. Get in front. Now, that's probably not being fair to the strategy involved, just because we don't know all the strategy involved. But I do think the football coach, even just that stalking of the sideline, it just feels like unless it's Scott Linehan, whoever your NFL coach is in charge of everything.
Absolutely.
I mean, even like Hazlitt kind of had a scowl on the sideline. It just seems like their demeanor is reflected more so on the field.
Yeah, and an NFL coach can take mediocre talent and make them great. And I don't think you can say that in the NBA. Unless you have great talent, you're not going to be great.
Correct. Either you have a really good team or you don't. I mean, you saw that with LeBron. I mean, hey, we got LeBron and not enough else. Okay, we don't have enough good. It didn't matter who coached the Lakers last year. They weren't going to be great.
All right. Let's see. If you'd like to be a part of the program, we have some open text lines. Hollywood Casino Press Box's phone line is brought to you by Maryville University, 855-282-8255. And what we're asking today is your confidence level in the Blues, your confidence level in the Cardinals, and your interest level in the NBA postseason. And certainly over the weekend, the Leonard shot, the Kawhi Leonard shot, was the biggest moment in sports nationally. And I think a lot of people were watching here locally too.
I flipped over for the fourth quarter. I wasn't watching the whole game, but I watched the ending. And the way that that ball, as it missed, I thought, well, they're going to OT. And then it hit again and hit again. There was a shot by Duke this year. They won a game. Remember where it bounced around several times and then went in. That, I mean, if you're a Toronto sports fan, I know you're all wearing Austin Matthews jerseys and you're all into the Leafs. That's an epic. I mean, that's not Joe Carter yet, but in terms of Toronto great sports moments, that's got to be real close to the top.
Good point. All right, let's switch topics and get back to the NHL playoffs. Joining us is Gene Principe, one of the top Canadian sports reporters for Sportsnet. Gene, great to be with you. How are you?
Hey, good, Frank and Martin. Yeah, and another great sporting moment in Toronto, 1967, when they last won the Stanley Cup.
It's been a while. You know, I was looking at the crowd yesterday, and I was just looking to see if anybody was wearing a Tavares or a Austin Matt. I was like, I wonder. Nope, they are all wearing Raptors.
They're different crowds. I used to work there. Now that's a long time ago. Actually, I was there when the Raptors sort of came on board, and Isaiah Thomas was the leader. And of course, Isaiah, well known on both sides of the border for being a basketball great, Hall of Famer. And it's been a long time, but that Kawhi shot was amazing. I think Canada, the game of basketball has grown a lot. Only one team, Vancouver, used to have a team, which they no longer have. But I think when a team starts to succeed, I don't want to call people bandwagoners, because then I'd be calling myself that. But you know, you kind of watch a little more, you're in tune a little more, you're interested a bit more. And last night, I mean, we had the game on throughout Mother's Day, and numerous people were watching it after the hockey game wrapped up with Boston and Carolina.
So, Gene, just a gut feel. We're watching the Blues and Sharks on Saturday, and just what jumped out at us was, in addition to the Blues' silly mistakes, is, gosh, San Jose is really, really good. I mean, so many weapons. I mean, do you think, like, on paper that the Sharks are a better team than the Blues?
Well, you know, yes and no. I mean, they've got a surefire Hall of Famer in Joe Thornton. They got this. I mean, Joe Pavelski, to me, despite the fact that we do talk about him a lot, he might be one of the most underrated yet still well-known players in the league. I honestly believe that if they didn't have Pavelski in Game 7, I'm not sure they would have had that pump and that jump to defeat Colorado. Yeah, I mean, I think they have a little more pedigree than, let's say, St. Louis, and for that matter, Carolina. Boston's a bit different because they still have some players around from when they won one Stanley Cup and nearly won a second one in 2013. Yeah, San Jose's just a really good team, like, every year. For the last 15 years, I think they've been to four conference finals. And as you guys know, it's so difficult to succeed in many sports, including hockey. So there's something there. There's a stability there. They've changed coaches. They certainly have changed players. But they always kind of find a way to reestablish themselves. And I like San Jose's approach. Like, they went out and got Eric Carle. They're not afraid to make big blockbuster moves. Evander Kane wouldn't be considered as big as Eric Carlson. But they go out and do things. I mean, and they went out and did maybe the best trade in recent history for a blue liner / forward who's now back on the blue line, Brent Burns. So, but you know what, St. Louis, I give them a lot of credit. They're scrappy, tough. They don't back down. They got a coach who nobody would want to have to deal with, and Craig Berube. And so, I mean, I think this is going to be a long series between these two teams. You know, San Jose maybe has a little more of the experience factor, but never count out the Blues. Otherwise, we would have counted them out back in January, guys.
Where's the weakness for San Jose? Martin Jones, it seemed at times, not only during the season but during the playoffs, has been one of their weak spots. Yeah. Is there a way, if you're the Blues, are you trying to rattle him or maybe get a little traffic and maybe knock him or nudge him a couple times?
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. I mean, I, I, I like their defense. I mean, they've got, Carlson, Burns, and Vlasic, who are, Vlasic is certainly a lesser-known player, but has represented Canada, at Olympics, and is a real strong stay-at-home defenseman. And, so you've got kind of the high end, and then you can't have six Norris Trophy winners on the same team. And then you've got kind of, the role players who are playing their roles to perfection. That would be my suggestion, because of the way the Blues are built and the forwards that they have, that Martin Jones would be, he's not the weakest link, but he might be the easiest link to get to see if he's the weakest link, if that makes sense, to try and find out whether you can bother him enough, throw him off enough to get him back to where he was, early in the series versus Vegas in the playoffs, where, he was pulled from a couple games and his save percentage was below 900. Or you might trial that, it might not work, and then you got to take a different approach. And I know one of them is trying to rattle the defense of the Sharks, in particular the two guys, Carlson and Burns. You want to make them play as hard and as long, as tough a minutes as possible. So every team has a little a spot in their armor that you might be able to reach. But I would suggest the goalie might be the easiest one to try and see if it works.
Gene, it's only one game, but already the big talk in our town is Vladimir Tarasenko, and it's the number one, as in one shot on goal in game one, one assist throughout the postseason, and one even strength goal. He's been a really good player. How do you analyze this thing in terms of getting him going? What can they do?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. He's such a good player, but in the playoffs, anything that he's done in any previous 30 or 40 goal seasons mean nothing. I mean, the way I would look at it and hope, if I'm the Blues, is that, listen, look how far we've gone, and we've basically done it without our top goal scorer. And you might say, well, a guy like Jaden Schwartz steps in, and he has, maybe he's got the goals you might have thought Tarasenko might have, or maybe if you add the two of them up, they're sort of in the vicinity. But at some point, they got to get him going. I don't know how many more series or games they can win without a guy like him. I don't know him that well. The little bit that I've sort of spent around him, he does appear motivated. He doesn't strike me as a guy that doesn't care. He appears to be the type of player that the team likes and appreciates. So I don't know if it's Alex Pietrangelo sitting him down, if it's Craig Berube, if it's Steve Ott, if it's Doug Armstrong, if it's a combination of those people. The thing is this, and I know sometimes it's easy to criticize athletes because they make a ton of money. And so we feel like, I'm generalizing when I say they're not doing this, or they're not doing that. My guess is that nobody's feeling worse about this than Tarasenko. I don't think he's booked any holidays. I'm not sure that he's, planning a summer trip. He wants to compete. He wants to win the Stanley Cup. He wants to be a big part of it. So you have to also sometimes, I think, guys, with a veteran player like that, kind of leave it in his hands to a certain point. Now, whether that point's passed or not, that he will be able to get himself out of it. I mean, he gets ample opportunity when it comes to power play and 5-on-5 time. So, fingers crossed, saying how much longer can this last? We're past a month into the playoffs. You're into the conference final. You're one of five or four teams remaining. That if you've tried all those things and they haven't worked, then you just got to believe in the individual that he's going to find a way to get out of it, and hopefully a lucky bounce, a break, something. Or you get to the finals, hope you play Boston, and Brad Marchand goes after him and wakes him up, and then you're going to be fine, because he seems to get everybody riled up. Now, I'm not saying it always leads to offense, but maybe that would be like a plan F or G or somewhere down the list.
At the end of the game, Jordan Binnington did give up five goals. But watching the game, it was obvious there were some terrible turnovers in front of him. The defense collectively probably had about an F that night. How do you rate the goalie, and is it tough on a night like that where he was sort of hung out to dry?
Yeah, to me, I think that's easy for him to shake off. And I guess the rating would more come here in game two to see. I mean, I think Jordan's one of those kids that we all keep kind of waiting for, the kid who not struggled, but who obviously struggled to get to the NHL, who never had a chance until now. But I don't think he's that guy. Like, I think he's going to be back again for game two and look good and play good. And it was one of those games. I mean, it's tough coming off. I know it's a conference final, but you just had a game seven against Dallas that you were, you know, I look at that Jamie Benn wraparound, and he's 2-3 inches away from scoring that goal. And you're talking Dallas, San Jose instead of St. Louis, San Jose. So I give the Blues a little bit of a pass for game one. I think just coming off of what they've been through in that last round, now they've reset. They realize who they're playing. They know more about the Sharks when you get a chance to play them in the playoffs, not regular season. And I would look for a much, you know, result. It's, you know, San Jose's good, but I would look for a way better game and likely a better result for St. Louis in game two.
Gene, good stuff. Before I let you go, you are Italian, correct?
Oh, yeah, Paisan.
I got to tell you something. You have the coolest names ever for your three kids, Francesco, Matteo, and Isabella. Unbelievable. The best names ever.
Yeah, we went all Italian with those. I got to thank my wife. She was cool in the Italian culture, maybe, you know, many European cultures. Your firstborn boy is named after my dad. So once we went with the Francesco, we kept on with the Italian theme.
What's great Canadian cuisine? Is it, what do we call it, poutine that everyone talks about down here?
Yes. We were just talking about, so that's basically French fries, gravy, and cheese, which sounds like a hell of a combination at any time, day or night. But especially at night, maybe when you're getting home late or after you've covered a double overtime, it's something great to enjoy. And we used to be more based, just more out of Eastern Canada. But, you know, in Quebec and in those areas, but it's now all over the country. So, yeah, poutine. Maybe not good for your heart, but good for your soul.
And how often per week are you at a Tim Hortons?
Oh, too often?
Right.
I would say half dozen, give or
wow.
take.
Wow, that's serious.
And,
that's, yes.
And the average Canadian probably right at that same number, I bet.
I would say so. You know, it's amazing to me, guys, who... I'm not like this, but I know lots of people who, you know, if you start at 8 a.m. or 8:30 or 7:30 and they build in a 15-minute window so they can stop and get their coffee, right? Like, I wish I had known that coffee was going to be this big about 30 years ago, because I'd be doing this interview on a yacht somewhere in the Cayman Islands just enjoying myself on a beach.
Good stuff, Gene. Great to hear your voice. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Take care, boys.
All right. Gene Principe joining us.
Shocking that Frank found him a hockey analyst that happened to be a good Italian.
You know, he was the one, do you remember the Pat Maroon moment when he was with Edmonton and he scored a goal
here
and his son saw, and he said, Pat, I want you to look at this. And then he saw the boy crying and then Pat started to cry. So
he was here at that game?
He was covering the game. He put Pat on the live post-game show and it went pretty viral.
Was that 2 years ago when that happened?
Two or three.
He came through town? Yeah.
Yeah. All right, before we go to break, quick word about one of our great sponsors here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box, and that is the Gatesworth. Finest in senior living, looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle. Look no further than the Gatesworth, 170 in Del Mar, 1 McKnight Place. We were there this weekend for Mother's Day, had a great meal. There's nothing better than the Gatesworth. And McBride Homes, Missouri's largest home builder, is offering incredible deals throughout the entire month of May during their Memorial Day sales event. Buy a new McBride home in May, receive $2,000 to $10,000 off the base price of a new home. Celebrate the season with incredible savings and move in before the end of the summer. With nearly 40 communities across Metro St. Louis, there are homes for every price point in every part of town, so there's no reason to wait. Homes to fit every lifestyle and designed with you in mind. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details on their Memorial Day sales event. We'll take a break. We're coming right back after this.